Success Mat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We are hoping to have Paula Bovin with us for our weekly segment, but Paula, Eric has been texting feverishly back and forth, so she has a bad travel agent. That's all that I know.
Yeah, basically to catch up to speed real quick.
Yeah.
So Paula flew into Charlotte. This morning she was flying out of Charlotte. She was flying to Newark.
Newark.
Which, if you know your geography,
that's north.
Newark is the opposite direction of Phoenix.
That's not this way.
Yeah, so she's going to go up, and then she's going to go across country, but a bunch of the flights this morning were delayed, and so she is in the air, and we're waiting to see when
Efforting.
She lands in Newark.
She sounds whiny on Twitter, like the pilot didn't arrive on time for her flight in Charlotte, so she just sounds grumpy. And you know what? If I flew cross-country and watched a tail-kicking like she witnessed last night, and I had to write about that and put a spin on it, you know, whatever her spin may be, that's why she gets paid the big bucks. That's why she comes on this show, to explain herself, to say, this is what I saw last night. It was awful. It was dreadful. But if you just write that as fact and truth, you're going to have people that are all upset and saying, oh, no, it really wasn't that bad. The referees should have said this and called that. And we got jobbed. And I mean, all the nonsense that I would see on Twitter last night. Oh, our guys were being helped. No, our guys, your guys, not my guys, your guys got run over last night. That's what happened. I mean, Carolina was superior in every way, shape, and form. There's no other way to put it. Very few Cardinals played well. David Johnson played well, and beyond that, Kevin Harlan's going to be with us in a minute or two, and it's always good to catch up with Kevin. He is going to be the voice of the Super Bowl on radio with Westwood One. I heard him yesterday do some of the Brady and Manning game. He was there with Dan Fouts and Boomer Esiason yesterday in Denver, so I want to get that view too, and an early look at the Super Bowl matchup. Look, the sun did come up today. Shocking, okay? Yeah, there's people that are depressed. Some of the stuff that I see, and social media is a place where people don't want to talk about the bad stuff in life, but man, when I see people that they can't exist today because they lost a football game, and there's people out there that are going through health problems and financial problems and marital problems, and sports is the escape from it all, and then they turn that into a dumping ground too. Yeah, it's fine to be upset. You should be upset. I would be disappointed if you're not upset, but it's not the end of the world. The franchise isn't moving away. This is not St. Louis, where they don't even have a team anymore. There's work to do. And I said at the start of the year that this is a win. This is a bust team. They have to win or it's a bust. They have to get to the Super Bowl or it's a bust. So as happy as everyone is and the great moments, and there were lots of great moments, I'm not going to dispute that. I'm not going to sit here and pile on them today either. That's not the right thing to do. But I think it's very fair to say they came up short. Yeah, 31 teams are going to come up short. And whether or not it was Carson's finger, because they want to say over and over, I had nothing to do with the finger, nothing to do with the finger. A guy doesn't go from, his quarterback rating, Eric, was like 142 at one point. It was just sick. And in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks since the Philadelphia game, it's like 70. He had a lower QB rating than Ryan Lindley did last year in last night's game.
That's hard to believe.
A lower QB rating than Ryan Lindley last year. And that game was just awful. So here's the other bit of bad news, okay? Phoenix has found two cities that we just can't get past. One is San Antonio in basketball, and the other is now Carolina. If we're looking at cities that got us and have gotten over on us, Carolina has gotten over on us the last 2 years. When I have to watch Derek Stinking Anderson on the field at the end of a game, and I have to watch Ted Ginn, who couldn't catch a cold when he was here with the Cardinals last year. He was a complete miss by the Cardinals last year. Complete. He didn't do anything. And so those are the two guys that beat you. And of course, as we talked about last week, the Cam Newton stuff where they're taking pictures with 2 minutes to go in the game and they're doing all the stuff. The football to the kids is cool. That's like the offset, the balance of it. And he's been doing this stuff when they were 3-13 too. So to his credit, that's just when they're 4-12, he was doing this stuff. And he doesn't care. And he's very talented. Oh, my gosh. Is he the face of the NFL? I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't look at just him and say, that's the face of the NFL. What he's doing with the NFL, he's doing it in Charlotte. If he was doing it in New York, if he was doing it in a perennial football power, perennial football hotbed, if you're from Charlotte, you're not a perennial football hotbed. You're not. College is a bigger deal down there than pro. But if you were doing it on a national stage in Pittsburgh, if you were doing it on a national stage in fill-in-the-blank, New England, and maybe he gets rid of some of the stuff by the time he gets to 30, but it is cool to see them run into the stands and hand football to kids. I saw where there's like a little battle. Did you see that one last night? There was like a little battle between two kids.
I did.
And the guy falling out of the stands.
I think the most amazing thing about Cam Newton, Brad, and we talked about this earlier this morning, is he's doing it with just a bunch of guys. I know their offense. Their offensive line's very good. Jonathan Stewart is pretty good running back.
Yep.
But when Philly Brown and Ted Ginn and a bunch of other guys, I mean, their best wide receiver or their best receiver is Greg Olsen, and he doesn't even play receiver. He's a tight end.
Right.
And Cam has 50 total touchdowns now in the season. That's
I thought you were going to say Cam had unreal. 50 seconds to throw the football on every play.
Well, he did have that too.
So, look, let's be straight on this. The pass rush for the Cardinals, if I'm Steve Keim and I'm on the plane last night with Bruce Arians and I have a long flight home after getting my tail kicked, I'm watching the film and I'm seeing how long did Cam Newton have most of the night. And look, we're going to have all offseason to dissect this. And if Paula can find her way to a phone while she's on a plane or in an airport or wherever she is, we'll go further with her and all sorts of guests. But I thought Troy Aikman brought up a great point last night. And he got crushed. There were Cardinal fans that are like, oh, Captain Obvious. Palmer had a bad game. Yeah. And I thought Aikman was very good in saying, you wonder how a guy comes back from a performance like this. Because it doesn't matter, guys. It doesn't matter next year if they go 5-0, 10-0, 15-0. It doesn't matter. He's here to do one thing. His legacy, you don't want to finish on that note last night where you got crushed. And if they're trying to hide his finger, then shame on everybody for hiding his finger. Shame on everybody. Just be straight. Just be honest. His finger is dislocated. It's bad. Yeah, teams are going to go after it and try and hurt it worse. Tough. It's somewhat unfair to him just to leave him twisting out there. No, there's nothing wrong with this finger at all. I don't know how a guy loses 70 points off his quarterback rating. I don't know how that happens. But the pass rush has got to be priority one. The Cardinals will say today, and look, everybody's emotional today about this, and you give it some time. Are the Cardinals going to make a move that clearly sends a message that, no, we're not satisfied with where we are at quarterback right now? This is no offense to Drew Stanton or Matt Barkley, but the heir apparent to Carson is not heir apparent. I don't see it. But in free agency, do they go make a move that says, this is what we're going to do down the road? The venom from some people that were, I'm loyal Cardinal fan guy this, I'm loyal Cardinal fan gal that, the venom towards him last night was over the top. He had a terrific season, but again, he came up short. Patrick Peterson was not good last night. If you're a superstar, you don't fumble a punt. If you're a superstar, you don't get caught from behind. I mean, there's so much there. We're going to shift over to the Super Bowl matchup with Kevin Harlan next, the voice of Westwood One. He is going to call the Super Bowl for Westwood One Radio. Of course, he's done play-by-play of the NFL for CBS. That's with Kevin Harlan. That's next. And now the voice of the Super Bowl on radio. Kevin Harlan joins us for a couple of minutes. CBS and Westwood One, he did the AFC title game between Denver and New England. Appreciate the time as always, Kevin. Just big picture, looking at it a few days away from this Super Bowl matchup. What do you make out of Denver, Carolina?
Well, we've got the oldest quarterback, Brad, ever to start a Super Bowl game in Peyton Manning, and a guy that is probable MVP of the league If it wasn't Carson, it was going to be probably Cam Newton, and they happened to match up yesterday down in Carolina. But Cam is the newest and the latest great thing now, and rightly so. He's had a terrific year, and we saw it firsthand last night, unfortunately, from a Cardinals standpoint. But that probably stands up. I do think, and just reflecting quickly over yesterday, had Manning lost that game to Brady, and of all quarterbacks losing to Brady, but had Manning lost that game, I do think the legacy that he would have left would have been a little bit in question. I think the people would have looked at it and said, yep, he had all the statistics, he did everything that were at the very top rung of quarterback play in professional football, but when it came time to winning championships, he only won one. And I think that would have affected him. The fact he's getting back for a fourth time with a chance to win and possibly have a second title would cement any doubt. It would quiet any critic. And you could easily say that he'll go down as one of the top five quarterbacks statistically and otherwise in pro football history. But had he lost yesterday, and this could have been his last season, it still may be his last season, mm-hmm. but he could have called it quits after yesterday because his body is just breaking down. I think there would have been some question. So to me, in my mind, it's a lot about Manning right now. This is, of course, in the wake one day after the great win. But to me here, 13 days out, it's a lot about Peyton Manning and what he's done in his career and how he can write the final chapter of his career with the Super Bowl 50 in a couple weeks.
We are with Kevin Harlan, Westwood One, CBS. He will be doing the play-by-play of the Super Bowl. This will be the Peyton Manning Super Bowl. This is not Cam Newton against Peyton Manning, correct? This is all going to be about Peyton.
I think it is, mm-hmm. but I think that would be unjust not to circle exactly what the NFC champions have done. 15-1 record, stars on their defense, the probable MVP, dealing without your number one receiver coming into the season, and really not a ton at receiver to begin with once they lose Kelvin Benjamin. And to find what they did as the season went on, live with the undefeated record for three quarters of the year, there's a lot of pressure that builds up week to week, and I thought they handled it well. And it's a difference, too, Brad, of a veteran team, guys that have been in the league, and maybe an older team in Denver, and kind of a young, brash, they're in a lot of self-congratulation and dances and look at me moments. Yep. That turns a lot of people off, and I get that. So you kind of have different styles, different cultures a little bit too. But it just has so much of Manning. I when I was doing that game yesterday, I was with two quarterbacks. I was doing the game with Dan Fouts, who's in the Hall of Fame, and Boomer Esiason, who down in Arizona, who's been a four-time Pro Bowler, a league MVP, is obviously as visible a face as the NFL has right now in terms of broadcasting. And we knew, the three of us going into the game, that this could be Manning's last game, that we were watching this great matchup, the 17th between Brady and Manning, and appreciating all that they had meant to the league. I mean, they really have meant a lot to the NFL in this block of history. But knowing that Manning, really at any moment with his last game could say that's it, you appreciate what he's done. Your mind does drift back to what he's done and how great his career was. And I thought yesterday, they were compelled, the Broncos were, Brad, on two fronts. Offensively, Manning, knowing where he probably is going to end his career, and it's sooner than later. On the defensive side, DeMarcus Ware, who had played so many years, mm-hmm. nine-time Pro Bowler, and he had never played in a championship game. And I think the team really got the focus, and they really got their compass on how they were going to approach yesterday by those two guys almost alone serving as inspiration. I thought it was one of those classic games. We're going to continue to watch it and decipher it. But how can't you think that those two guys will play a prominent role in 2 weeks in the Super Bowl as much as they did yesterday in that win over New England, the defending Super Bowl champion?
No, that's a good point. Before I let you go, as you get ready for your Super Bowl preparation and you look at these two coaches, these are not coaches that are known throughout the league on a week-in, week-out basis by fans. The story of the matchup of the two coaches, I know it's very early for you, but I'm sure you've seen enough of them to have an idea.
Well, they've both played in the game. They know about the game. They know the ramifications of the game. They've been around the game both a long time, but they're both former players, and so they have a feel for what this event is all about. I do think Gary Kubiak has done exactly what John Elway, Brad, wanted him to do. I think he wanted to establish a run to alleviate the pressure on Manning this year, which he's done, and Manning has probably reluctantly accepted but knows now it's the best thing. And they're balanced. Their offense is balanced, and that's something they did not have against Seattle a couple years ago. And Kubiak is right there. I do think also Kubiak gives that team a little bit more zest, a little bit more charisma, a little bit more fight. That's what Elway, John Elway, who runs the organization, wanted. He wanted a coach that was going to get them to the point where they were kicking and screaming to get wins, and I think they did that. And so I think he's fulfilled that. Ron Rivera has been a guy who they were thinking about disposing a couple years ago, and even sooner than that, even earlier than that. It's been this great relationship he's had with the players. There's profound respect for him in that locker room. I think all coaches handle, just like Bruce does with the Cardinals, they all handle teams differently. But there is a thread that runs through them all, and that is they've got followers, they've got the belief of their players in the way that they are preparing them to play. And when you've got the belief of your players, and Belichick has had this for 16, 17 years, certainly in New England, when you've got the players believing in that game plan and believing in your leadership, it always pays off. And it has for Ron Rivera, and it certainly did for Bruce, and has and will continue to pay off for Bruce, and certainly obviously has with a Super Bowl entry here for Denver with their new coach, their first-year head coach, Gary Kubiak.
Before I let you go, how many Super Bowls now for you as you get ready for this one in San Francisco, Kevin?
This will be number seven, And believe me, every time I put that headset on and look at the majestic view that we get from our broadcast booth, and my eyes canvas the fans and the field, and I get to see the big names in the press box, the people that cover our game, the broadcasters that you know well, the writers that you know well and read. I say a little prayer. I said, thank you, good Lord, for giving me this opportunity to be here and do such an important game, not only for the company that I work with, but for me personally. I can't think of anything more rewarding than to get a chance to broadcast this game. So few have done it. And I feel incredibly blessed, believe me, every time I put on that headset and get ready to broadcast the Super Bowl.
Thanks for the visit, as always.
Brad, thank you so much.
Kevin Harlan with us there for a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm going to get over to Cam Newton and Carson Palmer in a minute, but let's just take Carson out of the equation and look at the Cardinal roster last night. And if you wanted to lay it all at Carson's feet, I think you're badly mistaken. And there are some people this morning that's just killing Carson on social media, and it's completely unfair to him. Yeah, there's plenty of reasons to criticize him. Don't get me wrong on that. But the Cardinal pass rush, so we'll break down and go through the free agency and what their status is and all of that down the road. Okay, the NFL calendar never stops. Super Bowl is in 13 days, and a week and a half after that, we're going to be in Indianapolis at the Combine. That's just how it is. But I think if you look at the pass rush of the Cardinals, so Calais was somebody that Bruce Arians repeatedly jabbed and prodded and I would say ripped on this season at times. And it's because Calais could handle it. It was because Arians wanted more out of Calais than what he was getting. Did Calais do anything last night, Eric? I mean, really?
No. And yeah. It's an interesting point you bring up, Rags. I was driving home from a friend's house listening to the postgame show, and Bruce Arians said in the locker room interview, he said, our five stars did not show up tonight. And right. So I started going through my head, okay, Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, Patrick Peterson, Calais Campbell, and I don't know if that fifth is Michael Floyd. I don't know who that is, but again, it's the Arians just not mincing words. Mm-hmm. And I thought just in the locker room reaction we got from the Cardinals, I thought they handled it very well. There were no excuses. We got beat badly, we didn't show up. And that's refreshing to hear, because in the past, you don't always hear that from teams. It's, the travel, yeah. Playing at, early start time, late start time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, so if we're looking at the defensive front of the Cardinals, if we're looking at the pass rush of the Cardinals, you have to ask yourself a couple questions. Were the plays that the Panthers made downfield a result that the Cardinals' secondary just isn't that good? Or is it because when you allow any quarterback back there, including Cam Newton, that much time that they're just going to pick any secondary apart. Well, I'd go beyond that and say when you put Patrick Peterson back there and he's supposedly the best at what he does, and in a game of this magnitude, you do not fumble a punt. You just don't. There is no excuse for that type of mistake at this juncture of the season from somebody who is your super of superstars. Okay? So there's one person that I would look at and say, tremendous letdown. Calais is a great guy, somebody that I have a good relationship with. But if I'm going to sit here and be truthful about what I saw last night, it doesn't matter to me how many guys Carolina threw at him. When you're one game away from the Super Bowl, you got to make plays. You just have to make plays. And so we're not going to sugarcoat that. The only guy that I looked at last night and said, wow, he acquitted himself nicely was David Johnson. I mean, David Johnson against Green Bay did not have a great game. And he was terrific last night. And from the very first series, Veldheer was getting thrown around, the very first series. So there's concern as to how good, really, how good is your offensive line? If I have to see Bobby Massey for another year on the offensive line, then I'm going to say to myself, self, why do I continue to see Bobby Massey? Nice young man. But Bobby Massey, you can go all the way back to when it was the Derek Anderson, Kevin Cobb roller skates at tackle deal with him. It's why DJ Humphreys, your first round pick, was inactive yesterday. It's very disappointing. If you put it all together for Steve Keim, as good as his draft class has been this year, and his draft class is really good. I mean, you're talking about David Johnson and you're talking about JJ Nelson. And you're talking on the defensive side at linebacker, that they've done a nice job. Marcus Golden, they've done a very good job on their draft this last year, but their first round pick did nothing. Did nothing. So those are the types of things that I look at when what is the main priority for them to get better in this offseason? And to me, it has to be the pass rush. It just has to be, we've got to get better. Because you can't let Cam Newton stand around back there. I'm watching Denver yesterday. Von Miller's, and I get it, it's Von Miller. New England had no chance. They had no answer for Von Miller. They had no answer really for DeMarcus Ware. They had no answer yesterday. Tom Brady was hit 20 times yesterday. That was the number. 20 times by the Denver defensive front. So Denver's been able to build enough of a defense. And the Cardinals just aren't there yet. And it's not like I don't trust Steve to get it done. I thought that, obviously, Dwight Freeney was a terrific pickup in the regular season. I even asked Steve this a couple weeks ago, would you be where you are on your defensive front had you not added Dwight Freeney? And in my opinion, they probably would have had another loss or two. He made that much of a difference. Last night, did you even hear Dwight Freeney's name? I didn't even hear Dwight Freeney's name during
the
game last night.
Not once. I saw him, but I didn't hear his name.
Yeah, I mean, so here it is, you're one game away from the Super Bowl, and you've got to have your guys show up. Maybe that's who Bruce was alluding to. I mean, $100,000 a sack, why not? You know? So I think the defensive front is the first point that I would have to worry about. Should Patrick Peterson have even been back there returning punts? We've gone through this with Patrick Peterson through the years. Focus on being the best corner you can be in the league. Second guessing what Bruce did in terms of play calling, did they get away from the run too early? Well, it's easy to say that, but if you go back in the game, when Peterson fumbles the punt and Carson gives it right back and Ginn is able to track Peterson down and prevent a touchdown on the interception, then those three plays right there really swung the game, I thought. Now, I could be wrong on this. It's just how I saw it last night. So as frustrating and as disappointed as everybody is, and yeah, they came up short on their ultimate goal. It's a team that has a very short window. I can't tell you that Larry Fitzgerald is going to repeat what he did last year. And I don't know, Eric. I'm watching Carson last night, and there was a little bit of me that was looking at him saying, that's Steve Nash at the end of his career. That is Luis Gonzalez at the end of his career. Meaning, our legends and our icons, we watch them age, And it's harder and harder to watch them at the end because they're just not able to do as much against good competition. Let's not forget, if you go through the Cardinals' schedule, and we brought this up as the season progressed, I thought their schedule was very fortuitous. They had some games early in the season against teams that weren't very good, but I thought were going to get better as the season went along. And as the season progressed, I started to see this unevenness about them where they'd start slow. Turning the ball over, that wasn't the only thing. You know, starting slow was part of the problem with this team this year. They were never in last night's game. They started very slow. I don't know. Did you see the picture of Cam Newton warming up around the Cardinals on their side of the field?
Yeah, laying down on the field.
Did you see that?
It's very bizarre.
Okay, so how about some guys just going over there and lifting him off?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that was a mental thing or if that was a I'm going to try to psych you out before the game thing. But it was
the Michael Jordan is my mentor. They, you know, they play that angle up, and I've been reading about that.
Sure.
Is him playing mind games, is that part of the deal?
Maybe. I just thought another demoralizing part of the game was, so there's a little optimism coming out of the half.
Yeah.
Carolina gets the ball and marches down the field, and they only get a field goal, Brad, but they chewed up half of the quarter. I mean, it was almost a 7.5-minute drive, and even though they only got the field goal, that to me was like, the Cardinals have no chance of winning this game. Whatever tiny sliver they had, because you think, okay, if they can get a three and out or at least force a punt,
mm-hmm.
and if they can figure out a way just to get any sort of momentum in the second half, because we've seen, like you said, this team has started slow, but in the second half, with Arians' adjustments and things like that, maybe they'd have a chance to get into it. No.
Do you think they got away from the run too soon?
They had no choice.
But it's Bruce. I mean,
they had no choice.
Were they getting big chunks?
Yes.
And as just off as Carson was, I don't want to say he was horrible, but he was horrible.
He didn't get a lot of help from his wide receivers.
No,
but,
no. I mean, Larry but that was a tip ball, the one that Larry.
Yeah,
did.
And on one of the little drag routes to Floyd, Floyd completely quit on the route. I mean, the game was already out of hand, but still, they showed the replay, and I mean, a couple plays where John Brown could have come back to the ball, he didn't. And the ball was either picked off or deflected. I mean, I'm not making excuses for Palmer, but they lost as a team. Like, David Johnson was pretty much the only bright spot last night. They got out-coached, they got out-played, they got out-muscled, they got out-hustled.
Did you see Marcus Golden blow up on the sideline?
That's just inexcusable.
Okay, but here's the thing on that, okay? You may be right, because you and I weren't there with Princeton Buckner, okay? Hmm. But Fox played it up, and they showed it, and Erin Andrews was hyperventilating, because that's what she does. That's a kid that's never been in this space before. That's a kid that's, you're not nervous. I think Bruce is lying. It's very true. There's no such thing as being nervous in the moment if you're prepared for the moment, okay? So some of these guys have never been in that space before. They've never been to an NFC title game before. Carson has never been in that space before. So did he, in the moment, not play it as well? Sure, you could easily say that, but he also had to run for his life, was getting hit from all directions, and he made poor decisions. He tried to do too much. Tried to hit the 10-run home run. There's no such thing as a 10-run home run. Tried to get the 21-point play. There's no such thing as a 21-point play. So this whole offseason is going to be about, do the Cardinals have a problem at quarterback for the future? Do the Cardinals have to look? We have some pictures of Carson Palmer, too. Do the Cardinals have to look at Carson Palmer differently in this offseason and say, this was as good as it is going to get? Do we have to start getting our guy developed? And in my view, they're probably a year behind in that schedule. Remember, it was Logan Thomas. Well, Logan Thomas could be the future. We spent a 4th-round pick on him. It didn't work out. Drew Stanton has come in here. In last year, Drew Stanton gets the concussion. We saw what happened in Carolina. This was a worse loss this year in Carolina than it was a year ago. The quarterback rating of Carson Palmer was lower than Ryan Lindley's was a year ago. Now, I'm not one that wants to throw dirt on him because I do think he's talented. I do. I have to be one of those that says everybody should have been honest about this finger thing, but they want to keep it from the opponent. It's kind of like hockey. He has a lower body injury. We're not going to say any reason why because we just don't want him to get hit. Guys, come on. This is not 1975 anymore. They're going to find out. Paula just landed. Is she in Newark?
Yeah, she's in Newark.
So Charlotte to Phoenix, straight, direct, But somebody said, no, you got to go to Newark, where, by the way, the airports are barely open.
Yeah.
She's going to be grumpy. This will be great. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. I'm expecting a grumpy Paula Bovin. She went from Charlotte to Phoenix. No, wait. We're going to go Charlotte to Newark. So first of all, you're at the Newark airport, right?
I am indeed, yes.
Yeah. And that's not going west. That's going northeast.
You know, Brad, it is called flying on a budget is what that is. This is the route I was supposed to go on. I was a little worried about the airport here in Newark, but everything is nice and secure now. So just going to take me a little longer than I planned.
Yeah. Did your flight there go directly to Charlotte, or did you have to go to Detroit, then Midway, then Nashville, then was it direct?
No, I was lucky. You know, everyone else at my paper got canceled and rerouted, and I was on this magic flight that went directly or nonstop from Charlotte or from Phoenix to Charlotte. And so
it was
lovely. And I got there and the skies were clear and I missed a lot of the bad stuff.
Yeah. No, you didn't miss all the bad stuff. You hit all the bad stuff. It was on the football field.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So let's just go through this line by line. Who do you blame for last night?
Well, I blame the stars and I blame the coach. I mean, if you're going to blame somebody, that's what you have to do. And
yep.
I mean, even Arians acknowledged it. The people that are supposed to step up in games like that didn't. From Carson Palmer, who, you know, obviously there's a lot of pressure on him defensively. That is a great defense, but he was forcing passes and rushing things. And, you know, Patrick Peterson makes that great play and then he muffs the punt. Expect some big plays from other guys on the defense. It didn't happen. Even Larry Fitzgerald dropping a pass. Arians, maybe the X's and O's didn't play out the way they should have. So, you know, I think those are the people you have to blame. And I say this with great respect for the Panthers because I watched them some on TV, but man, when you see them in person, they are so fast. They're so big. Every time I run into Cam Newton, I just am amazed at his size, you know, just for a quarterback. So impressed by them, but Cardinals didn't deliver.
Okay. Are you in the boat less than 24 hours later, actually in the plane 24 hours later, that the Cardinals have to start finding the replacement for Carson here in the offseason? Troy Aikman said in the broadcast last night, as bad as this is going to be something very hard for Carson Palmer to overcome. He is no spring chicken. Do they have to start looking for the replacement here in the offseason, or do you think he bounces back from all this?
Well, I guess both. I mean, I think he needs to start looking anyway. He has maybe a few more years left. And, you know, when you see the Cam Newtons of the world, the guy who's like 10 years younger than Carson, and you see what a really great quarterback can do for an offense. I mean, they need to sort of start planning their future anyway, I think, regardless of what happened last night. But I do think Carson Palmer will bounce back. You know, he came into this season in the best shape of his life. There's no reason he can't come into this next season. And if this team can make some, you know, important changes, I think mainly with their outside pass rush, mainly with some offensive line upgrades, there's going to be some guys I don't think we're going to see on that team next year that we saw in that game last night.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think fans have hope for a good season again. I mean, Carson Palmer didn't deliver in that game, but he delivered much of the season. And I think if other factors had been in play, he might have had a better game as well.
Okay, so to me, watching it, I wasn't there like you. He looked old at times. I'm not going to say the whole game, but it was like watching Steve Nash towards the end. It was like watching Luis Gonzalez towards the end. It's like watching Peyton Manning now. Doesn't mean that they can't win. It's just all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh, he's moving pretty darn slow out here and his ball is not getting out very quick.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, that's the thing about getting older as an NFL quarterback. The margin of error is it's much smaller and things have to go right and you need a strong supporting cast and everything else around you. I know, you know, there's going to be questions about his fingers too. I mean, I know there was a dislocation. Immediately played it down after the game.
Which I don't think has been fair. Paula, I don't think it's been fair to Carson what's gone on with his finger thing. You don't go from 140 passing rating to 70. And if it is bad off, just say it's bad off because the opposition's going to come at him. Am I wrong on that? I just think it's been unfair that there's, oh, no, there's nothing there. And every week, it doesn't matter if it's Collinsworth or Aikman, they're all referring to it. So clearly, it's worse than what they want to tell us.
Well, it sure would be nice to have some clarity. I know these are the games that NFL teams play, though. Right. Maybe they don't want it, you know, his finger targeted. You know, they don't want to give the opposition any extra information. I think we'll know more here in the next week or two if we find out, A, that Carson's having surgery, or B, someone let some of that information out. But I get it. It's just the games that the NFL teams play, so I've come to expect it, I guess, so I'm not that offended by it.
Yeah, I'm bothered by it. It's kind of like lower body injury in hockey players. Okay, that works in 1975. It doesn't work here in 2016.
Yeah, right.
So your big takeaway from this is what?
The just the juxtaposition of those two teams showed how much maybe the Cardinals still need to improve their team. You know, we can talk all we want about choking under pressure, blah, 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 guys that step up on the big stage, and I think that's a big storyline. But the reality is they've not looked as good the last 3 weeks, and who have they played the last 3 games? It's been the Seahawks, the Packers, and the Panthers. These are good teams, and when they started playing really good teams, I think they got exposed a little bit more. So I think that, I mean, those off-season moves, you know, as we talked about pass rusher, offensive line, those things are real and things they need to address if they want to take it to another level. Like I mentioned before, the Panthers just looked so physically dominating at times in person. It was crazy.
Okay, so let me throw some names at you before we get you out of here. Dwight Freeney, is he back next year?
I think so. I mean, you know, and I'm not, honestly, I'm not tapped in as like sort of Kent Summers of the world, but I think so.
On the offensive line, how many new faces next year?
I think Bobby Massey for sure is done for a variety of reasons, but a lot of it having to do with his play, and he certainly didn't help himself with a cause. You know, I'm sure they would, with this stuff off the field, I'm sure that, you know, if they could upgrade at center too, they might. I don't know how that'll move the different parts, but I think that's something that could happen. So I think there's a lot of possibilities with that line of movement and things like that for sure.
What happens on the defensive front with Calais Campbell? And I'll ask you this from this standpoint. My view, Calais is here. There's never, no question, shouldn't even be brought up. But every week, Bruce went out of his way to say he didn't play well, he played poor, he did this, he did that. And the whole thing was, well, Calais can handle it, it's just motivating for him. All right, that sounds great, but this is a business. He's been here a while. Would you be surprised to see anything happen with Calais?
I would be surprised. I mean, I think, you know, and I understand that whole motivating him because he can handle it stuff. I have not gotten a sense either side that there would be any kind of a divorce. There is so much more he brings to that team beyond some of his great plays that he made this season. I was watching him before the game, and they were circling around him, and he was, you know, talking to the team.
Sure.
There's that leadership thing. The guys really respect him in the locker room. It says, you know, the season, I did not see any breakdowns in this locker room, and I know that winning kind of cures that, but I've always thought it was such a healthy locker room, and I really thought Calais was one of the big reasons why. So I would be surprised.
I would too, but when you play Carolina 2 years in a row, I said this earlier, Carolina to the Cardinals is like San Antonio to the Suns, the old Suns, not this current Suns team. That's a speed bump. But now it's proven, and they're young, and they're really good. And the blueprint is there. It's not like the Cardinals are this close to being with Carolina. They're not close. So I'm not saying you have to panic with this whole thing, but I'm saying they're probably a half dozen or dozen players away from being there with Carolina, in my view. And yeah, health's part of it. Yeah. Tyrann Mathieu's there. Is it different? That's easy to say, but you have to have the quality backups, and they never really had that with him. So...
No, it's a great point. I don't know I don't think it's as far as maybe you think it is, but there's definitely a difference in it. You know, we know in the Valley more than anyone how hard it is to win a championship in any sport. to get this close and not be there has to be so frustrating this team. And the, you know, Bruce said after the game, there's faces on this team you're not going to see next year. So they're already, they've already got the wheels rolling as far as changes. How far that'll go, we'll learn soon enough.
Are we going to see you back in the Valley before next Monday's appearance? Are you you going to Juneau after this? So they put you on one of those deals?
Yeah, I'd probably get rerouted. We certainly hope so, Brad. Yeah. I hope to be home sometime today.
All right. Safe travel. See you. Thanks.
All right. Good talking to you.
You too. It's Paula Bovin, columnist, AZ Central Sports, and my friend. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.